Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, and it's about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action. The gospel of the kingdom, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. So then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling or habitation of God in the Spirit. Well, this is the 499th episode of Patriot Radio. And I just want to say thank you to everybody. We are going to have a special guest on today and another one on Thursday. 500 episodes. Wow, tens of thousands of downloads. I think including the first phase of Patriot Radio, we're over 250,000 total downloads over the history. And that's all because of you guys. Thank you. And that also goes to our live listeners out there right now and those that are viewing on Facebook. We broadcast on Facebook and soon across Rumble and YouTube and the rest. We're getting all that set up right now, so we are broadcasting across True Media instead of just Facebook. I'm sure all of you are happy about that right now. But instead of just complaining about it, make sure you go to Gab. Make sure you go to YouTube. No, don't go to YouTube. Go to Rumble. So Gab and Rumble are going to become kind of key linchpins for us here as far as getting our voice out. But really, it's your voice through us and God's truth put out over the airwaves. So please make sure that you get on those other social media sites, at Matt Shea. You can follow us there on virtually all of them, except for Truth Social. There's some other guy down in Texas. Anyways, at Matt Shea 1 on Truth Social. So today, our guest is going to be Trevor Loudon, who is one of my favorite people. We're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on in the world. But I've got a lot to go through, and I want you to mark this day, okay? I want you to write this day down. If you're driving in a truck across America, thank you for everything you're doing to keep America rolling, especially during this time that we're going into. If you own a business, especially manufacturing business, thank you for everything you're doing to produce here in the United States of America. We are headed into the first part of what we talked about 4 or 5 months ago with China invading Taiwan. And I'm going to share some things that you are probably not hearing on the mainstream media, for sure probably not hearing on them. But the intelligence reports this morning were absolutely disconcerting. Now, we thank God for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and him being the answer. But I'm going to go through a few of these things right off the top. The first is this. Global wheat supplies critically low. The USDA reports world wheat supplies will drop to a six-year low. But listen to this part. Extreme weather conditions in the United States have further impacted planting and growing of critical winter wheat supplies. So the USDA predicts this year's crop will be the lowest, wait for it, since the 1960s. If you're not preparing, get prepared. Now, I've posted so far a list on food, a list on water, and a list on sundry items. So you have those in front of you. All right. One of the other big things that you need to stock up on right now is medical supplies. I'm going to be posting something on that. Now, there are all kinds of ideas on medical supplies, but there are certain things that you want to have that if they're out and you have it in your house and something really bad happens, you're going to be thankful you had it. And this list will have those kind of things on it, like a SAM splint or like Celox, things that again, if there's a critical bleeding incident in your family and you've got to help, you don't want to have to rely on traveling 40 minutes to the hospital. Or worse, if you're out even farther, maybe hiking or something like that, not being able to help your family member at all. So this list can be also used for camping and hiking and those kind of things. You can take it wherever you want to, but it's a pretty comprehensive list. And part of this list that a lot of people, when they talk about preparedness, never mention is dental preparedness. There is a dental traveler's kit that's part of this. I understand somebody tried to go on and find it here recently. I'm going to double check the link before I put it up. But you want to have something that can also be used in an emergency regarding your teeth and your mouth. So when we went overseas, we actually had people that were dental cat four. In other words, they were disqualified because of their dental health. And dental health is super important when you're in the field for long periods of time, or maybe you're in a degraded situation, electricity's out for a period of days, you can't get to a dentist, you want to have something like this. Or maybe you're going on the mission field to Africa, you're not going to be around a dentist. You want to have these kind of things on hand. So this list includes that as well. All right. So global wheat supply to a critical low, the lowest since the 1960s as far as this year's crops, according to the USDA. All right, we're going to talk about a couple other things here on the international front. First, from Open Source Intelligence, the defenders of Mariupol apparently have been evacuated, but they've been evacuated into Russian custody, and they're trying to declare the Azov Battalion a terrorist organization so that those prisoners will never go back to Ukraine. So it looks like the battle for Mariupol is over. Now, I don't really care whose side you're on this issue. Somebody that holds out for almost, 2.5 months in those kind of austere conditions. Wow. That's actually pretty incredible. And it wasn't just the Azov Battalion that was there either. Also today from Open Source Intelligence, Finland's parliament voted 188-8 in favor of joining NATO. And the Finnish foreign minister signed the application. Turkey continues to maintain that it will block Finland and Sweden from joining NATO because they harbor a so-called terrorist organization, despite the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is harbored in Turkey. Okay, if we want to start throwing stones in a glass house, we can do that. Because the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader, Al-Qardawi, specifically said that Erdogan meets all of the criteria for the next caliph. Then Erdogan turns around and turns the Hagia Sophia, which was originally a Christian church until it was completely defiled in 1453 with the conquering of Constantinople. That's what it was originally called. And then after 1923, when the caliphate was abolished, it was turned into a museum. Well, Recep Erdogan turns it back into a mosque because that's the only place a caliph can be ordained. So he's saying that they're, you know, Finland and Sweden are helping harbor some Kurdish. Look, you want to start throwing stones about this? Turkey is harboring the Muslim Brotherhood, and everybody knows it. Guess where they went when they left Egypt, when they were kicked out of Egypt? They went to Turkey. All right. Also from Open Source Intelligence, this is another important thing. The U.S. is preparing a new military aid package for India. That means that the United States and India are becoming closer. Obviously, that's going to be a counter to China. And we're going to get to China here in a second. I want you to pay attention. And again, remember this day. Mark it on your calendars because we talked about it before it happened, okay? This interesting development in California with the church shooting should alarm everyone. And I'm going to talk about this in the context of what is happening with China. All right. So this came to us from Forward Observer. So David Chow, the mass shooter who allegedly killed one and wounded five Taiwanese Americans. So this church shooting that happened in California was a Taiwanese church. So David Chow, the alleged mass shooter that killed one and wounded five Taiwanese Americans was working as a political operative for a Chinese front organization conducting information operations here in the United States. Chow was a key leader in the National Association for China's Peaceful Unification, a Chinese Communist Party-controlled influence operation advocating Taiwan's forced repatriation with China. I want you to hear that again. The alleged church shooter in California just this weekend, and horrible, horrible thing. But also, this is why church security should be beefed up all around the country, because the left is really trying to foment this stuff with the narrative that they're putting out there right now. And we're starting to see this, but this is an interesting thing because there's a twist here that's huge. A Taiwanese church attacked allegedly by David Chow, who is a key leader, or was a key leader, in the National Association for China's Peaceful Unification, which is a influence operation inside the United States of America. That takes a whole different direction to what just happened in California. I want everybody to listen to my voice. If a nation state has a member of an influence organization do or try to do, thank goodness for good people with guns and good people with quick reaction, tries to do a mass shooting in the United States of America, that is an international incident. In fact, since at least 2015, China has been conducting a semi-covert operation in the U.S. called Operation Fox Hunt in order to coerce Chinese expats to spy on political dissidents, kidnap and return those targeted individuals to China for imprisonment. We know this because there has been U.S. law enforcement personnel that have been targeted as a result of that operation. Now, here's the other part of this, and I want you to listen again very carefully to this. Remember, we reported here a little less than 2 weeks ago that the Chinese had surrounded Taiwan in a huge exercise that looked very clear it was preparation for an invasion. Well, now, this coming to us from actually two or three sources, there is audio, and I'm just going to cite Joe Miller from Alaska since he's the one that put it up there. But there's the authors to this had a source coming out of China that was at this meeting, apparently. An audio was leaked of Chinese military meeting discussing the invasion of Taiwan and the defeat of regional U.S. forces. I want to stop there for a second. Remember, we had Joel Skousen on here a few weeks ago where we talked about the fact that if China decided to invade Taiwan and the United States in any way, tried to get involved, that North Korea would immediately invade South Korea, and then within a couple of weeks, we would see maybe even an EMP attack or a cyber attack against the United States trying to cripple the United States of America. Okay, a secret recording of Chinese military meeting planning the invasion of Taiwan and the defeat of regional U.S. forces has reportedly been uncovered. In the past week, in response to the instruction of the Central Military Commission, the State Council in Beijing, they are transitioning to a wartime system. There are three things that this meeting focused on. Number one, building a military-civilian joint mobilization command and control system. Number two, establishing wartime procedures. Number three, preparing for wartime command and control. They were talking in this particular area alone, Guangdong province. They were going to mobilize massive resources for this invasion of Taiwan. Over 1,400 units of various types, 140,000 personnel, almost 1,000 ships, and a whole bunch of drones and everything else going to this. So they're actively talking about now, according to this article, an invasion of Taiwan. Now, here is the other interesting thing. This just recently came out. A person, and this is the same person under the moniker Avenging Angel that leaked Russia's invasion plans to NATO, made one more claim. So the person that accurately predicted the Russian invasion, okay, leaked the plans to NATO, also made one more claim. Xi Jinping informed Putin that China would invade Taiwan in September 2022. These are the little bits of intel that come out that we look for right now And as we talked about a few months ago, war was in the offing, that this was their plan. And now we're seeing the little bits come out that are corroborating this, that China would in fact invade Taiwan after Russia had invaded Ukraine. Now, there was a third part of this, and I'm going to get to that here in a second regarding Iran and Israel. But what this is showing us very clearly, and I'm going to post this up online, and it's actually at Restoring Liberty by Joe Miller is where the article is. Travis will make sure it gets up. Things are becoming very unstable, and this looks again like they want to foment a broader world war, they being the powers that be, on both sides, by the way, because they're both globalist at heart. And Magazine came out with this to underscore what I'm talking about how tenuous things are right now. And they're, everything seems to be over here, corroborating world war coming very quickly. This is what Sam Faddis says, quote, "The Russians have lost the war in Ukraine. They are no more capable of successfully carrying out the current offensive than they were in the initial failed blitzkrieg attack on Kyiv." End quote. I want to go down to this. The Russians have likely lost one third of the men they put into Ukraine, and obviously one third of the armor of their entire military. Quote unquote. Now, what does this mean? Besides the fact that the Russian military's morale is very, very low, it means that a revolt by the Russian military is now a real possibility. And the implications for world stability and the political future of Russia are profound. Quote unquote. Here is why I bring this up. If Putin believes that there may be even a revolt inside the Russian military, and these rumors about him having cancer are true, and his mental stability, which we could kind of see on the battlefield right now, he's just destroying everything. If he can't have it, no one can, which means he's lost the mental level of the war. So he's lost the moral level of the war by shelling civilians. He has lost the mental level of the war right now very clearly. All that's left is to lose the physical level of the war. And if he believes that that's about to happen, he may become very desperate. And that's when nuclear weapons come into play in a broader war across this world. Which brings us to the next thing. This coming to us from the nationalpulse.com. Ministry of Truth. Joe Biden's new disinformation board director is a Ukrainian government advisor who was pleased by the censorship of Hunter Biden's hard drive. Look, I'm going to just say something right now. We have a lot of Ukrainian friends, and I know they have friends in the Ukrainian government. I know that there are people in the Ukrainian government that realize there are forces in America, corrupt forces in America, that are trying to corrupt places in Ukraine. The fact of the matter is most of the mafia and most of the folks that were very corrupt already fled Ukraine when the war started. Actually, we could see the planes taking off, private airplanes we reported on the show. But here's the point. Who was pleased by the censorship of Hunter Biden's hard drive? I would ask every person of Ukrainian descent, tell the Ukrainian government, don't have anything to do with these types of people. Yes, I know you're fighting for your survival right now. But if you fight for your survival only to end up with corruption again, what have you really achieved? All right. That alone is showing again the instability that is happening around the world in this continuing push toward a world war, which brings us to Iran, coming to us from Debka File. Iranian cruise missile sent to Hezbollah could carry a nuclear warhead. A sea blockade is planned for Israel. I want to talk about this quickly, because just over the weekend, and we're going to go to WorldNet Daily quickly next, but just over the weekend, there was an interaction between the Russians and the Israelis. But this is interesting. Iran furnished the Lebanese Hezbollah terrorist group with a selection of cruise missiles. The weapon has a range of about 3,000 kilometers. And here's the other interesting part. Its purpose is to clamp a sea blockade on Israel in a war. So they've been quietly accumulating precision surface guided or precision guided surface missiles and a pile of marine cruise missiles capable of posing a threat to the Israeli Navy. So the purpose behind Iran having this is, again, a sea blockade of Israel. Now, here is the interesting part. WorldNet Daily, in a first, Russian forces fire anti-aircraft missiles at Israeli fighter jets in Syria. Now, this follows on the heels of Lavrov offending the Israeli government pretty dramatically, and then Putin apologizing. But now Moscow appears to be shifting its foreign policy dramatically against Israel. Russian forces reportedly fired for the first time S-300 anti-aircraft missiles at Israeli Air Force jets during airstrikes in northwestern Syria on Friday night, according to Israeli Channel 13. So we have the Middle East brewing now, Iran, and now Russia regarding Israel, brewing right now. We talked about this again. Watch the Middle East, and it seems like something's spinning up. And maybe this is what happens between now and September if China decides to invade Taiwan in September. And I'm going to make sure that that one is up on the Facebook page as well. But here is the other thing that went under the radar today. Now, as all these things happen, we must pay attention to the stuff that's kind of being ignored. Center for Security Policy came out with this today. Situation report. Biden administration decision to delist jihadi terror groups raises questions. So we have two clear Al-Gamal al-Islamiyya and the Mujahideen Shura Council. The Biden administration plans to remove those groups in addition to three other groups from that list. Now here, if you don't remember what al-Islamiyya is, it was first designated terrorist group in 1997 and is known as one of the most violent terrorist organizations in the Middle East, most famously led by the late blind sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman, who was convicted of the 1994 World Trade Center bombings and also played an important role in the formation of Al-Qaeda. Why on earth? And then the other group connected to Al-Qaeda leader Ayman al-Zawahiri. Why would we delist terror groups like that? And why would we do it right now? Why would we do it right now? Make sure that one gets up as well. This is at the same time that the Chinese are testing autonomous drone swarms that can hunt humans. Chinese scientists have proven that aerial robots can work together maneuvering at speed through a dense bamboo forest without crashing into the plants themselves. And they released the footage of 10 lightweight drones moving in between these trees and obviously using facial recognition could target individual human beings. All right. I'm going to shift now to the national front and the regional front. I want to talk about a couple things. The first is this, inflation. If you have not read the book, When Money Dies, and you can actually find a PDF copy of it online, When Money Dies. Read it. Inflation is here. And When Money Dies shows what happens when inflation tries to eat away and destroy an economy. And actually does eat away and destroy an economy. And what you can do to prepare yourself for such a scenario. So the book, again, is called When Money Dies. And it's about Weimar Germany and what happens as inflation increases. $10 a gallon gasoline or diesel, food prices, very limited disposable income, where things we've taken for granted here in America end up not being readily available. And this combined with the wheat shortage and all the other things, need to really pay attention to this so that you can protect your family and prepare for what's ahead. In addition to that, Zero Hedge just came out with an article entitled, There Goes the Housing Market. Since the Fed is rushing to hike the U.S. into a deep recession just so inflation will supposedly slide ahead of the November midterms, last week, Zillow's dismal outlook stoked fears that rising mortgage rates would result in the next downturn. Well, yeah, that's right. You're going to see the real estate market go down next year. And it's going to start this year. And very likely it will include the commercial real estate market, which we're already kind of seeing. So what is happening is called stagflation, where you have a devaluation of a currency at the exact same time. So devaluation of a currency is inflation. At the same time, you have a devaluation of assets, houses, buildings, etc. That is called stagflation. It's the worst of all scenarios. This also follows on the heels of a LouRockwell.com article entitled Back to Square One by David Stockman, which is showing that there is a huge indicator of inflation. It's called the PPI for finished goods, okay? A huge indicator of inflation spiked in April, as much as it has, or the most it has, excuse me, since 1948. So you want to check that article out as well. And that brings us lastly now to the regional front. So guys, prepare your family, get some medical supplies, prepare your family, make sure you've got food, got water, got sundry items, sanitation items. Prepare your family right now. Do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. You don't need to go to the movie or spend more money on Netflix or whatever. Do it now for your family. Well, tonight is primary night in Idaho. And it's interesting. Tonight, you've got somebody that I really, really respect, Janice McGeachin, up against Rhino extraordinaire Brad Little. Now, Chicken Little, during the COVID farce, showed his true colors. Janice McGeachin is the lieutenant governor, actually tried to reverse it while he was out of town, and he got all upset about it, but I thought it was brilliant because he had to do it again. He had to double down on the farce. Brad Little and rhinos like that, people across America really do not want to see put back into office. They just don't. So we're going to be paying attention to this. And what I would just ask you today, since this contest is so heated up over there in Idaho, let's take a moment and let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Idaho right now. And Father, we just ask right now that your patriot believing followers will be raised up into positions of leadership in Idaho tonight. Lord, I ask right now that you would open the eyes of the electorate there, Lord God, to see the truth. And Lord, that you would give them the courage to do your will, regardless of what anybody says, Lord. And I just speak your protection over the state of Idaho right now and over those patriots and Christians who are already in office fighting very hard. And Lord, I ask right now, too, that you would bless that state and bless Eastern Washington, the future state of liberty, and bless Western Montana. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. That is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us and on the front lines in the fight for freedom and liberty. And if you get a chance, you can go to iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you follow at Matt Shea on Getter and True Social. It's at Matt Shea 1 there. And Gab. Check us out on Rumble as well. And if you get a chance to, come to our church service here in Spokane. If you're traveling through Spokane, stop in. You're coming through on a Sunday, stop in. 10 a.m. every Sunday. Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, Jesus-loving, culture-transforming church. If that resonates with you, join us at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. All right, our guest today is none other than Trevor Loudon, who has been doing so much to expose the communist and jihadi infiltration here in America. first came out with The Enemies Within and now has come out with The Enemies Within the Church. And had an incident here recently that I want him to talk about today. Trevor, it's great to have you back on Patriot Radio. How are you doing, my friend?
Hi, always glad to catch up, Matt. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. So you went to tell the truth at a particular venue, and you kind of got chased off the stage. Tell the listeners what happened.
Well, I didn't get quite chased off. I tried to. Look, we contracted to show our new movie, Enemies Within the Church, at a cultural engagement conference for Christians that was being held at Mid-America Baptist Seminary in Memphis, Tennessee. So we had this contract. We paid the money. It was advertised months in advance. People were coming especially to see it. And the week before, the president of the seminary, not the organizers of the conference, the president of the seminary banned us from showing the movie. And when I was there, I confronted him about this. I said, why did you do that? And he said, well, the only reason he would give is it had been previously shown at the same university, to the same seminary, to a different audience some months before. That's the only reason. So I got up and I talked about Christians showing courage and engaging with the community, and I spoke for about 15 minutes, and I said, well, isn't it ironic that at such a seminar as this, that the movie that we have made that addresses these issues was banned from being shown? And at that point, somebody tried to get up and remove me from the stage, but I didn't. I stayed out my, I did my full speech. And then they tried to kick our booth out of the venue, and we refused. We didn't leave either. We had a contract. We hadn't done anything wrong. So we stayed till the end, and it got a lot of publicity, I got to say, and we sold a lot of DVDs because of it. That wasn't the intention. It was just to really show the hypocrisy of what we were dealing with there.
Yeah, and, you know, we, I think, have learned the lesson that there's no such thing as bad press, you and I together. And
well,
it's good.
Yeah. Well, you soon know who your friends are and you know who your enemies are, don't you? And we got a lot of support over this because, you know, a lot of people were disappointed that come specifically to see the movie. And we asked the president specifically, Mr. Spradling, I think it was, said, you know, is this because you got some heat last time you showed the movie? Because the movie exposes several leading Southern Baptist luminaries. And he wouldn't answer that question. But I think that's probably what the problem was. But as I said to him, and I said on stage, I said, every single person we criticized in the movie, we went to them for comment. We went to them for their side of the story, and not one of them would come on camera.
Well, that's why I think it was so good seeing you stand your ground as these guys tried to get you out of there. And you had a conversation. You were respectful when he came up to the microphone.
Yeah.
But you stood your ground. And that's what we need to do as Americans today. We don't need to give ground to these people who are weak-kneed and compromising, because people need to hear the truth. And once they hear the truth, they're going to make the right decisions, but they've got to hear the truth. And that's really where the battle is today.
Well, it is. You know, we are getting you know, our side of the argument is great. You know, the Constitution, liberty, prosperity, freedom. Our side of the argument is fantastic, but we don't get to put it. So everybody just gets these opinions. You know, weak republicanism versus socialism and communism, basically. That's what they get. And so we want to put this out of the story, and that's why we did the Enemies Within the Church movie, because I think a lot of Christians are just really confused as to why their churches aren't standing up, why their churches are just bowing down to the culture, bowing down to politicians, caving when a politician tells them to close their church. And in many cases, the churches now are all about social justice and white privilege and global warming and, you know, the LGBTQ agenda. Many of them have actually taken the Marxist agenda on board. So millions of Christians are going to Marxist churches every Sunday and not realizing what they're going to. Not yours, of course, Matt.
No, I mean, absolutely not. It is the other one.
Yeah.
There's two. There's so many of them today, and I think that's what really shocks Americans. Could the Southern Baptist Convention really have been infiltrated? And the answer is actually yes. And so could you tell the listeners a little bit about this infiltration that's been going on? And then I want to move to this interesting incident over the weekend in California as well, and some of the information I was getting this morning. So go ahead.
Yes, well, look, the Southern Baptists absolutely have been infiltrated, unfortunately. You know, the largest Protestant denomination in the country and one of the most politically conservative. But if you look at it from a Marxist point of view, they had most of the mainstream churches. They had most of the Democratic Party and parts of the Republican Party. They had the universities. They have big tech. They have social media. They have high school education, elementary education. They have unions. They have Hollywood. What they didn't have were the evangelicals and the Baptists. So in the last 15 years, under guys like Russell Moore and, the Gospel Coalition, Tim Keller and others, they've been bringing Marxism into the evangelical movement and into the Southern Baptists. And they've got the Southern Baptists now who have actually adopted critical race theory, which is pure Marxism. You know, it's Marxism about race rather than class. That's now part of the Southern Baptists' toolbox in their toolbox for dealing with issues of racism. They have adopted the whole Marxist agenda, the social justice and the LGBTQ agenda is coming in pretty quick. So yes, even the Southern Baptists have been infiltrated, but that should have been expected because the left wants to bring this whole country into socialism, and they were one of the last bastions against that, and now that it's falling as well.
Well, that's where I think a lot of the people we screened the movie twice here at the church. Had a couple hundred people each time. I mean, it was very, very good turnout, and I think that's really what shocked everybody. Was okay, if they can get into the Southern Baptist Convention, they can get in anywhere. And and what books are we reading? And when Tim Keller came up, I heard audible gasps in the audience. I had to stop it and explain it a little bit because people had his books on their shelves. So go ahead and talk a little bit more about Tim Keller.
Look, Tim Keller is a very well-respected Christian, but there's a few red flags there. Like he came out against Trump in the last election. He's a registered Democrat, but people think he's a conservative Christian. But he was involved. He was an admirer of the Frankfurt School as a young man. He was very much an admirer of John Perkins and other guys who were bona fide Marxists. We analyzed his sermons for 10 years, and he quoted Marx and postmodernist philosophers over 180 times in his sermons. You know, his reweaving of society that he talks about is basically socialism. It comes from John Perkins, his three R's, relocation, redistribution, etc. That comes directly out of John Perkins. And John Perkins is a self-confessed former communist. So as we show in the movie. So, Tim Keller, his job through the Gospel Coalition and his work with Russell Moore of the Ethics and Religious Committee of the Southern Baptist has been to bring Marxism into the evangelical movement. And he does it subtly. You know, the old communists who came into the churches in the 20s and 30s, they would preach 90% Marxism and 10% gospel. Tim Keller and his friends, they preach 90% gospel and 10% Marxism. They're much more subtle about it, but they're equally as dangerous.
Very clearly they are. And this shooting in California over the weekend, I want to shift to that because it involved a church. It's a Taiwanese church and David Chow. And I talked a little bit about this during the briefing. How is David Chow tied to China and what's going on here? I mean, this is very strange.
Yeah, well, what we can seem to see is he's part of a Chinese peaceful unification group that was set up in Nevada, in Las Vegas, a couple of years ago, that he's active in that. And that's part of a broader, you know, Mike Pompeo named this organization, which has several branches around the country, as a front for the Chinese Communist Party. So this is what it is. So this man was part of the Nevada branch. As far as we can tell, he's been photographed at their founding, part of the Nevada branch of this China Unification Society. And that, what that means is that Taiwan must become part of communist China. That's what Chinese unification means in this context. So he's part of this. He's pro-Communist Party of China. And, of course, these Taiwanese who don't want to be part of communist China upset him. And it looks like he lost it and went and tried to kill some of them and did kill one of them. But thankfully was apprehended before he could do more damage. But we need to understand there's a war going on inside America right now of the pro-Chinese CCP factions and the pro-freedom factions. And in most places, the Chinese factions are winning. So that's the sort of underground civil war that's going on in America right now. And unfortunately, it's now gone kinetic.
Yeah, that's what it seems like is happening right now before our very eyes. And it seems like this is maybe a precursor to China invading Taiwan. Well, we're seeing a lot of intelligence indicators. Yeah,
absolutely. See, you know, this is a, you know, Biden's in the White House and the military is weak. So that's why Putin has gone into Russia. China's going to attack Taiwan. Iran's going to attack the Middle East. North Korea is probably going to attack South Korea. And we're going to have a massive surge across the southern border. All coordinated, all the same thing. This is the time to change the world balance of power away from America leading to Russia and China leading. That's what is in the offing right now.
So what can we expect here in the next few months as far as Chinese infiltration and influence operations here in America? It seems like this is just getting worse and worse, and obviously the Biden administration is doing very little to stop this when they know it. And what I found really quick, just a comment on this, about 2,000 mules, it's finally out there that they admit they can track people like this, and yet they're not doing anything about it. In other words, they could track every Chinese agent, every Chinese cell, every Antifa cell in America, and they're not doing a single thing about it.
Well, look, Black Lives Matter is a Chinese communist operation. You know, I could have given them a list of the 100 leaders, and they could have arrested them, and the whole thing would have stopped. But no, they wouldn't do that because the Biden administration is in bed with China. The Democrats are in bed with China completely, and some elements of the GOP are too. You know, unfortunately. So, this is the thing. You know, Black Lives Matter, they got off scot-free, whereas a few people who took selfies in the Capitol, you know, unwisely took selfies in the Capitol building are being hunted down like terrorists. You know, so this was going to, and just on the 2,000 mule situation, I've just done an article for the Epoch Times and basically saying that the organizations that were passing the ballots to these mules that Dinesh D'Souza has exposed, I believe they overlap with the network the Communist Chinese set up in collaboration with Black Lives Matter. They had a network of organizations in seven key states, all of the key swing states, working amongst the Black and Latino communities to lift the minority vote in the big cities of those states. And they claim they won six of the seven states they targeted for Biden-Harris. So this was another aspect of the Chinese working through their American communist agents in electoral politics in this country. And they claim they won it. They claim they won it for Biden. I think they were working with those organizations that were handing out false ballots, fake ballots. I think we'll find a big overlap with those organizations.
I think so too. And you just put that article out. Is that already out published? Because we want to make sure we get that up online as well.
Yeah, well, there's two articles. I did an interview with Joshua Phillips, and it's So plus they did an article on it too. But it just may say something about the recent shooting in Buffalo.
I was going to shift to that next. So perfect timing. Okay, let's talk about what happened in Buffalo, because you do a little bit more research and it's not what the left claims. That's kind of a refrain, actually.
This is my take on it. The young man who's been accused of this is a national Bolshevik. He says he was an ex-communist, right? Now, he also draws on the work of Branton Tarrant. He was the Australian who killed 50 Muslims in a mosque in my hometown in Christchurch, New Zealand, about 3 years ago. Now Branton Tarrant was also a national Bolshevik. And what a national Bolshevik is, they sort of look up to a Russian philosopher called Alexander Dugin, who was an advisor to Putin for a while. David Duke, the former Klansman, is a big admirer of Dugin. So is Richard Spencer, the so-called alt-right guy. He's a fan of Dugin as well. But these national Bolsheviks, what they believe in a combination of Nazism and communism. They believe in a white northern republic, which will stretch from Russia right across Canada, the United States. And so they are basically, what they want to do is bring down the United States. Both Tarrant and this young man, both in their manifesto, said they used guns deliberately in the killings because they thought that would spark the gun debate in America. The left would come after the guns, the patriots would resist, and you would have a civil war in America. Both of these people talked about the results of their actions would spur on a civil war in the United States. And Branton Tarrant said basically this would take America out of contention, which would mean basically Russia and China would be then the sole remaining world powers. Branton Tarrant publicly said his favorite country was communist China. He'd been to North Korea, and he was part of the National Bolshevik Revolution, which worships Vladimir Putin and believes that Russia should be the main world superpower. So this is... And also the shooter a couple of years ago who shot 23 people in El Paso, Texas at a Walmart, mainly Latino people, he also had national Bolshevik symbology in his bedroom wall. So all three of these killers are part of or sympathetic to the national Bolshevik movement, which is a pro-Russian, pro-Putin, pro-Dugin amalgamation of communism and Nazism. That's what's happening here.
And that is why Americans need to be awake and not listen to the mainstream media that is trying to spin this into something it isn't. Just look at what these people are saying in their own words. In fact, he actually said he was an anti-Christian. He said he didn't follow Christianity. He hates Christians.
Absolutely.
Yet they're trying to make this a Christian thing.
They're trying to make this a white supremacist, Christian, sort of Trump supporter type of guy. Branton Tarrant talked about how his hatred for Trump, his hatred for Christianity. You know, you don't go to North Korea and worship China as the world's the country you'd most admire if you're a white Christian Trump supporter. You don't. This is how it works. You see, remember the Charlottesville disaster a few years ago when a couple of people got killed. Well, that was pro-Russian national Bolshevik white supremacists battling on the streets with pro-Russian communists. So two Russian factions were battling on the streets, and who got the blame for it? Conservatives, Christians, Trump supporters. It was an operation to discredit our side, our people. This is the same thing that's happening with the National Bolshevik Movement. They want to bring America into civil war. They want to help Russia. They want to help China become the dominant powers in the world. And we've got the media spinning this as some sort of, like they're practically Republicans or something, you know, or Christians or whatever. These are atheist, communist, national Bolsheviks trying to destroy America, and patriotic Americans get the blame for this kind of thing.
That's absolutely right. In the last 3 minutes, Trevor Loudon, that we have, if you could comment on Biden trying to delist blatantly violent jihadi terrorist groups, which is just so incredible to me, but he's moving forward with it.
Well, that's right. Like, he's trying to take the Iranian Revolutionary Guards off the terrorist list because he wants to do a deal with Iran. You know, look, Biden just gave Afghanistan to China. He basically gave Putin the green light to go into Ukraine. Now he's trying to give Iran nuclear weapons, and he's trying to take Islamic terrorist groups off the terrorist list so they can operate more easily in the United States, so they don't get flagged when they come in here, etc. If Biden was a paid Chinese or Iranian agent here to destroy the United States, what would he be doing differently than he is today?
Right. You know, what would he be doing?
People say the Biden administration is stupid. It's foolish. It's ridiculous. They're doing so many dumb things. No, they're not. You just look at their agenda. Their agenda is to bring this country to its knees. They're doing a very good job. Biden is doing what he's told and carrying out instructions quite well. Not that he's in control at all. I think the real rulers of America right now are probably Barack Obama and Susan Rice and Xi Jinping. But, you know, this is not stupidity. When we say this is stupidity, we are minimizing the danger. We are fooling ourselves. If he was just stupid, wouldn't he make a mistake in our favor once in a while?
Right. Right. Once in a while, but it's not happening.
Once
it's very
in a
clearly
while.
This is intentional.
Law of averages.
Yeah.
Law of averages, you know. It is. We're in a revolution, and we're dealing with Russia. We're dealing with China. We're dealing with our own internal communists. We're dealing with the border situation. All of them are coordinated. The riots we see on the streets, the same people who are doing that are the same people who are driving people across the southern border. What we see internationally are Russia and China and Iran and North Korea and Cuba all working together in any way they can to sink the U.S. dollar and basically freeze America off the world stage. And we have a president and an administration who's cooperating with all of those agendas.
So what can people do and where can they go to get more information?
Well, you can go to TrevorLoudon.com, but I urge people to go to enemieswithinthechurch.com to get the movie, because, you know, we need to restore the spiritual foundations of the country before we can have any hope of saving the country, which is why we did the movie. Now, enemieswithinthechurch.com, look, we've got to hold the country together. We've got to have a red wave of not just Republicans, but hardcore Constitutional Republicans to just get the country back on a little bit of an even keel, so that then we can start to take back our country at every level, from county commission to school board to state rep to Congress, etc. But there are millions of patriots out there right now who've been sitting at home for a year, reading their kids' school textbooks, watching their cities burn, watching an election stolen, and they are angry, they're rising up, and they're getting active. We've got to hold the country together long enough so those people can basically bring real patriots to power and turn this country around. That's our way forward at this point, I think. And the churches have to be a leading component of that, which is why we did Enemies Within the Church.
And the pastors need to show courage right now. Now is not the time to be seeker-friendly. Now is the time to show courage.
Look, if as we say in the movie, you might have to run people out of your church just to get the thing back on keel. But see, this is the thing. If your faith is deep, your courage will be broad. If you're in the church, a church leader, and you're a coward, what does that tell you about your faith?
That's good. Yep. Tells you don't have much.
Exactly. If you believe in the eternal, why would you be scared of anything on this earth? Why would you be scared of the government or not being invited to a conference or not being popular with the local mayor or whatever? Why would that worry you? if you really had your eye on eternity.
And that is a great place to end. Trevor Loudon, thank you for your courage in always standing your ground, never giving up, and for always exposing the truth no matter what the cost. God bless you. Keep up the fight. And look forward to having you back up here in Spokane sometime soon.
Look, a pleasure. And look, Matt, I know how the stand you've made, Matt. So it's a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Yep. God bless you. Trevor Loudon, and check out The Enemies Within the Church. If you have not seen it, we screened it here twice at On Fire Ministries. If you have not seen that movie, you need to see it, because this was an intentional targeting of the last bastion of patriotism and morality that was one of the strongest opponents of communism and socialism in America, the Southern Baptist Convention. And also it just shows how incremental they are, how generational they are, taking their time slowly, as he said, 90% gospel, 10% Marxism, slowly eroding, slowly chipping away. But this is how God works. This is how the kingdom works. Suddenly turning everything, boom, back to where it's supposed to be in an instant. That's what we need to be ready for. That's what we need to be doing in our communities. And tonight in Idaho, there is a vote, your chance. Do not vote for weak-kneed people. Vote for people who are going to stand for the values that made this country great, and namely Christianity, Christian values, but also patriotic values, and the people that understand the threat and what's coming against this country, that know the signs of the times and what to do about it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. May he make this generation the greatest one, especially in Idaho tonight. Keep up the fight.